Listen to shoot the defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Shoot the Defence on FNX, brought to you by the Life of A. I'm your host, Del, and my co-host this evening are none other than Rodrigo Giggs and Yannickis J, as you once known them. Rod, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Yeah, good. Can't complain after that semi-final victory at the weekend, but we'll go into that in just a moment. Yann, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. You all right?
Yeah, good.
Sound like you got the cod, mate.
You cheered up?
I cheered up. Well, I was happy on Saturday, and then I watched that tonight, and then it put me in a downer.
Oh, well, let's not talk about that. In fact, no, let's actually talk about it. Let's talk about Liverpool 5, AS Roma 2. Now, the first 20 minutes, Roma had a couple of chances, and then it was all Liverpool when, let's be 100% honest, and at the risk of getting death threats and having Italians knocking up my door, it was going to happen, wasn't it? Let's be 100% honest. Roma got three defenders, central defenders, that cannot run. They're not great. You know, Fazio couldn't even make it, you know, at Spurs. You know, he was down the pecking order. And it was the Mo Salah show. Rod, did you? I don't know if you watched the game, mate, but Mo Salah, we're going to talk about him later on, you know, with the Player of the Year award, mate. But he's unplayable at the moment, and he absolutely ripped Roma to shreds.
He is unplayable, but it doesn't help. I'm watching the highlights of the Liverpool game tonight. It's terrible defending, especially for an Italian side. The first goal's a great finish, but you show him when you don't show him inside his left foot. The Deco one's a bad defender as well. There's like two on two, but you can't argue with his finishing. The second, the third and fourth goal, he's basically pulling a play for his two mates. So, you know, he's had a really, really good season. It's a bit premature saying, you know, he's as good as Cristiano Ronaldo in the final Messi. Let's see if he does it. He scored 35 goals, 3 years on the bounce, 4 years on the bounce. But, you know, it's just a bit premature. Players are going to know all about him next year, so it'll be a little bit tougher for him. He won't have it as easy, but, you know, you can't take away what he's done this season. It's been a fantastic season. It's just a shame
Fair point. Now, Yann, as I said, Roma weren't in the game at all. 2-0 down at half time, early third goal in the beginning of the second. It was one way traffic, but they've given themselves a glimmer of hope. I really don't see them scoring three times without Liverpool replying. Liverpool will score an away goal. They might even score two. I think they'll even get three, to be fair, mate. It's done and dusted, isn't it, really?
You like to think so as a Liverpool fan. I mean, you know, Roma did it against Barcelona. Like you said, I don't see them repeating the feat against Liverpool. Liverpool got too much attacking class not to score away in Roma, to be honest. It's a shadow of a team that played Barcelona at home, wasn't it? It seemed like a totally different team tonight. But to be, you know, I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the back, but when the draw came out, I actually said that Liverpool would annihilate Roma, and I was proven right. I think it was the perfect team for Liverpool to play. You know, Roma, I know they're like third or fourth, you know, joint fourth, I think, with Lazio in Serie A, but they're not the greatest of teams. So I think Liverpool have already put their place in the final.
Do you know what? I'm going to go one better. They've won it. Give them the trophy now. Give them the trophy now, because, you know, Bayern Munich, they're not the same team as they were. Real Madrid, Chelsea ain't the same team as they were. And I don't care if they snuck past Juventus and they got Cristiano Ronaldo. Mohamed Salah is in such good form at the moment. Firmino is in good form at the moment. Mane is in great form. Put them together, they will destroy everyone. The midfield, for some reason, well, as you know, it's not some reason. They're just clicking. It's working. Defensively, okay, they're still not great, but they score more goals than everyone, and that's the name of the game. For me, congratulations, Liverpool, champions of Europe. I hate to admit it, as a United fan, give them the pot. It's done. Rod, do you agree?
No. to scream. Oh, you know, they've still got to play Madrid. You know, you can't mark Mo Salah for a game. You know, right midfielder did that in Ashley Young, so it can be done. You know, and you've got a player like Kolarov who has no interest in defending. He's an absolute shocking defender. You just put, you probably said to him, just put him up against Kolarov, and you know, he'll cheat, and just, there'll be a lot of space, you know, which there was, and obviously see the damage he's done. So, you know, they obviously got to keep an eye and make a plan for Mo Salah. But, you know, we've seen it, there's ways around it. Now everyone is probably, Jose Mourinho was not such an idiot by getting a 0-0 draw at Anfield, because, you know, ultimately you've got a point, and not many teams have done that this year.
Absolutely. Jan, do you agree? Are Liverpool European champions? I'll say it. Their name's on the trophy, mate.
No, absolutely not. I couldn't agree. As a United fan, I couldn't admit that they're going to win it, to be fair. But listen, they've got a good chance. I mean, but, you know, still Real Madrid's experience, especially they've got a knack a bit like Liverpool, as you're aware, in the Champions League. So, but it could even be Bayern. Bayern over two legs could possibly do Real Madrid. That's a bit of an even tie. So whoever gets into the final, you would think they'll be favourites against Liverpool. And, you know, not to kind of, you know, put a downer on Liverpool, but Klopp's records in finals is not great, is it? So possibly that could be another factor in the final, you know, once they get there as well. I mean, it's got to break, obviously, at some point. But I still fancy Madrid to over the two legs, get past Bayern and possibly do beat Liverpool in the final as well. Well, I mean, if Ashley Young can have Salah in his pocket, I'm sure Marcelo can.
Yeah, I get that. But you know what? Right now, he's Salah-licious, as they say. You know, he's a fantastic forward. We, you know, Rod briefly spoke about him earlier.
Yep.
PFA Player of the Year, fully deserves it, in my opinion. I don't think there has been another Premier League player better than him this season. But a lot of people talk about the, you know, Silva and De Bruyne. But let's be 100% honest, it's his first year back in the Premier League. He's been absolutely outstanding. I mean, he's carried Liverpool this season. As I said, there's no one out there better than him in the league this season. Rod, do you agree?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You know, I heard some talks today that, you know, Silva and Bryan, he's got to be one of them because they won the league. You know, it's not a team individual medal. It's individual medal. So he's backed in by far. Best player in the league, and his numbers show that. His assists, his goals, and obviously that he touched on there. He's probably drank Liverpool through the mire this season, and probably got them to where they are without him. You know, probably with 5th or 6th. So yeah, he's made a massive influence, and obviously someone at Chelsea has not done the job properly then, because to let a player like Mo Salah go and the ability he's got, and you know, look at Kevin De Bruyne, these players are back. Oh, obviously something going wrong at Chelsea.
Fair point. Jan, what do you reckon?
Salah's been sensational. He deserves every kind of accolade he gets this season. For a guy, you know, we touched on it earlier on in the season when he was doing well. He came from Italy, you know, as a flop at Chelsea. To play in a front three, he's a left-sided player playing on the right in a front three at Liverpool, to score them many, you know, to score them goals that he has done this season and the impact that he's had. And also for their national team as well. I think he's carried Egypt as well to the World Cup, to be fair. You know, a lot of people might, you know, kind of forget that, but even for the national team, he's done really well for them as well. So, you know, let's see what happens in the second year. You know, as we know, the second year is always a difficult one because defenders start kind of knowing, you know, the attackers play a little bit better and teams set up in a different way. But for this season, he deserves all the praise that he gets.
Well,
you've got to give credit to Jurgen Klopp. So, you know, he doesn't just turn up this season and become that player. Jurgen, he's obviously that player when he's turned up, and Jurgen Klopp's seen that, and he's got the best out of him. So you've got to give props to Jurgen Klopp as well. He's done a fantastic job with him.
Has there been any standout moments for you, Rod, in terms of, you know, any goals, any assists? Has anything stood out for you?
Obviously the one that stands out to me, the one that I keep on seeing is the one-on-one to the keeper, where he lets the keeper go to the floor and he's a little thing for her. I think that's Messi-esque, if you like. You know, it's an art to do that. You know, he's obviously sits the keeper down on the ground and just makes it easy for himself by just lifting it over him. So, yeah, it's a whole array of goals. But for me, I think it'll be a lot more difficult for next year because managers will be saying to the defenders, can't let this lad come in on his left foot. And if he does, he has to come into traffic, show him down the side, and then we'll take it from there. But, you know, he's still had a fantastic season.
Mm. And yeah, he's such a humble lad. You know, I know someone in Dubai, he actually knows his brother. His brother knows Salah. And, you know, he says he's a very humble guy and he does a lot of charity work for Egypt. But going back to what he's done for Liverpool, that goal against Spurs really stands out for me. The one at Anfield where he put them to
the last minute one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. If you were going to ask me the same question, I was going to say that moment as well. The fact that it was such a big game at the time as well. And to do what he did in the, was it 90th minute? When it's just before Tottenham scored as well, the equaliser. To do what he did and the manner that he did as well. And his professionalism, his attitude reflects on the pitch. He's a bit like in the Harry Kane mold in the sense of keep themselves to themselves, just work hard and they get the rewards on the pitch. And, you know, as you know now with social media and things like that, a lot of the players seem to be focusing more on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram than focusing on the pitch. So the fact that he possibly kind of stays away from that and concentrates maybe on his family, his charity work on the pitch, is playing dividend to what he's doing on the pitch.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, look, let's not continue this Liverpool loving, because I'm already ill enough as it is and I don't want to make myself even worse. Sorry, Liverpool. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the FA Cup final, and it will be Mourinho versus Conte again as United and Chelsea will contest the 2018 final. Now, United came from behind to beat a Spurs side devoid of ideas in the second half, while Chelsea made light work of Southampton. Now, Jan, this was no doubt an entertaining game for the neutral. I'm talking about the United one, obviously, not the Chelsea one, because it was extremely one-sided. But what did you think the turning point was of the game? I know Spurs looked very, very comfortable before Sanchez equalised.
That's where the turning point, I thought, was the fact that Tottenham didn't kill off United in the first 20, 25 minutes when they had the opportunity to. Once they scored the goal, they seemed to be all over United. United looked a little bit ragged for about 5-10 minutes, where they were possibly there for the taking. It seemed like the Sanchez goal kind of deflated Tottenham in the game. And then Eric Dier hit the post just before half-time. And then the second half, just for whatever reason, Tottenham just decided not to turn up. I mean, you used the phrase, you know, bottlers a lot in previous years and stuff like that. Was it another bottle job by Tottenham in the second half? For me, it seemed like it, to be fair. It looked like one team was, you know, hungrier. United looked like they had a proper game plan. And Tottenham, I'm a fan of Tottenham now. I'm a fan of Pochettino and the style that they play. Ran out of ideas second half. And I thought, you know, not having my United hat on, but I thought United deserved to win on the day.
I agree. And Rod Sanchez was awarded the man of the match. He loves the FA Cup and scores practically every time he plays at Wembley, mate. How important was his role on Sunday? Or Saturday, sorry. You're getting my days mixed up now. Sanchez.
Yeah, well, you know, like I touched on last week, you know, he's getting to know the players better now. And once you get to know the players, you know, you have a couple of good games and you just go on from there, and that's what he's doing. You know, he's a big time player, like I touched on last week. He's a world class player. It's only a matter of time before he hits the ground running, and he's starting to do that now. And just hopefully he carries it on now, because he's the type of player you get what we've seen at Arsenal. We get 8, 9, 10s a week. You might get a 6 or 7 every now and again, but they're very rare. So hopefully we see the Sanchez to come that we've seen all season and carries on now, because it's a great performance on Saturday and a well-taken goal.
That's right. Now, yeah, so, and it feels like we're going around in circles with Spurs, mate, because every time they're knocked out of a competition, we question their loyalty, we question whether the manager is good enough or as good as people claim he is, and so on and so forth, mate. How much do you think this defeat has hurt Spurs?
I think it's deflated them a lot, because a lot of the Tottenham fans that I know or you know, listening to Tottenham fans in general, believe that this was their year to go and win the FA Cup or win a trophy. And the fact that they've failed again at the semi-final, I mean, is it 8 semi-finals now in the FA Cup that they've lost in a row? I mean, that's a shocking record itself. And And it reflects. There's, coming back to it, there's not enough winners in that team, in that squad, to kind of, at crunch time or important games, to kind of say, listen, this is what we need to do to kind of manage the games better. This is where I think the experience or lack of winners didn't help Tottenham in the second half, where United had Mourinho, who's been there and done it, and certain players, like Sanchez, a winner, who kind of they knew how to manage that game in the second half. And to be fair, you always think that there's a storm coming after the 2-1, but it never came from Tottenham, which on their part was very, very disappointing. And if you're a Tottenham fan, forget the result. You'll probably start worrying now about your better players in the future. Will they stay there now? Because it's all nice, playing the football the right way, or pretty football, so to speak. But at the end of the day, winning trophies is what it's all about. And pretty soon you might see your Dele Allis, your Eriksons, your Kanes, possibly, maybe jumping ship.
Well, it's quite interesting you say that, Jan. And this is a good segue to my next question, Rod. You look at Alderweireld and Danny Rose. The Spurs fans appear to be resigned to losing them. They freely admit that they're at the exit door now. If you take those two players out of the equation, mate, and you look at Spurs' squad, how far away are they from mounting a challenge? How many players do you think they need to bring in?
We keep on saying they're at a crossroads, really, Tottenham now, because they have got some good players, but these good players have to win things. If they don't win things, then they'll obviously become frustrated. And Tottenham haven't won things for a long time now, so it's a crossroads. But they do need extra players, but they do need to keep the players, and these players might get frustrated now with big numbers, with big teams coming in from the summer. And they've got a decision to make. Do they stay with Tottenham and try and get a cup, which they've not done in for over 10 years, or do they go on to the Bastards New and get a guaranteed medal at one of the so-called bigger clubs? Because, ultimately Tottenham now, they're getting in these positions, but they're failing, so they're obviously not good enough, and these players aren't good enough, or they are good enough, they're just in a bad team, which obviously can't get over. They're not a bad team, but they obviously can't get themselves over that line where they win a trophy. So they probably need three or four players. I don't think that Danny Rose is a big miss for him or the other one. They're not standout players. Danny Rose has had a great season, even though he's done well when he's come in. So, for me, it's keeping the top players, the Eriksen, the Kane, the Allies, and a couple more. And, the keeper's not been great for him. I've watched Lloris this year, and he's been average at best. So, they may look at getting a better keeper and I'll give him a try, because, there's something not right there, because they keep on playing at the last stage. So, and they've got to get it right, because it's a fantastic club, they're moving to a new ground, and they have got some top players, but these top players are going to get impatient and move on if they don't start winning things.
Jan, Rod and I spoke on Viva Radami, our United podcast, the other day about Pochettino and his in-game tactics. I've always felt that that's one side of his managerial attributes that he really lacks. And Exhibit A was at the weekend. He's taken off Ben Davis, a fullback that is known for delivering the ball in the box. He's put Vertonghen at left back. He hasn't gambled and stuck Llorente up front with Harry Kane. Harry Kane was isolated. United were basically pushing Dele Alli and Eriksen deep, so they weren't able to create from 18 or 25, even 30 yards. It just appeared that Pochettino had run out of ideas. Is this one of his main flaws, mate, or do you see more than just this?
In general, he's done really well. As in, he's inherited that squad, and Tottenham play to kind of his philosophy, which he's inherited well at Tottenham there. Now, it could be coming back to the fact that he's never been there and done it, still, so to speak, where managing a game at certain situation or thinking, we're winning 1-0 down, we're winning 1-0, maybe it's time that we, instead of attacking all the time that we do, let's hold the game for 15, 20 minutes, see what United got or other oppositions have, and then maybe hit teams on the break or try a different tactic. He seems to me that he's in the kind of Klopp mode, so to speak, where they kind of play one way and that's the only way that they know. It could possibly come with experience or actually maybe getting to a final or winning something that he might learn the tactical side, so to speak. But It was very disappointing. It's especially in a game like that, so close to being in a final. United coming back from a bad result the following week against West Brom, so United weren't really on a high as well. It was worrying to see the lack of fight as a Tottenham, if you're a Tottenham fan, especially in the second half.
I agree, mate. I agree. Now let's quickly talk about the next semi-final, and we heaped a lot of praise on Olivier Giroud last week. So it was only fitting or only right for him to produce a moment of brilliance to break the deadlock against Southampton, and that was really early in the second half. Now the Frenchman weaved his way in the box, putting five players on their asses, five before rolling it in. It was very Maradona-esque, wasn't it? Morata made the game safe with 10 minutes to go, and Jan. At the time, I was getting a tattoo done, and when Giroud scored, I actually told the guy to stop so I could actually applaud the goal. It was absolutely fantastic. I mean, that has to be one of the best individual semi-final goals we've seen for a long time, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's probably the fact that it's Giroud that he didn't get all the kind of praises that he deserves. If it was like Messi or Ronaldo or someone else, we would have been back pages, middle pages of every paper and this and that. It's fantastic of fantastic ability from a guy that, like you said, we spoke about him last week, the fact that he's not the quickest of players, or he's not renowned for beating players. He proved us all wrong on Sunday, didn't he? The way that he scored them goals. I mean, if you're a Southampton fan or a defender, to concede a goal like that, it was, appalling on the defensive side. But Giroud does what Giroud does. To be fair, he scores goals, and an important goal, so to speak, to get Chelsea into the final. And he'll probably start the final, and he'll probably get a run into the team. Now he'll keep Morata out, and Giroud's one of them players that if you give him a chance, 7, 8 out of 10 times, he'll put the ball in the back of the net.
I think we need a mascot, and we think we need to call it Olivier Giroud. What do you reckon? Just so we can have it sat on the table whenever we're doing a show, because we...
Well, Michael Oliver is going to be the referee, so there you go, like Olivier Oliver. I don't know, little omen there. Well, a
Don't
long
quit your
one
day.
anyway.
Don't quit your day job.
Yeah.
Just don't quit it. Rod, your mate Mark Hughes, I should say, Leslie, his team put up less of a fight than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, mate. Is a team low on confidence and ideas, or were they just simply a team that knew the game was over before it even started? They didn't stand a chance, really, did they?
They didn't, but they did have some chances. Shane Long, one-on-one, should have scored, didn't score. You've got to take them chances when you get the big chances against the big side, especially in a semi-final, the FA Cup. He's obviously just not getting a look at the minute, and I think they've obviously Southampton, they've improved a little bit, but defensively, letting goals in, so it's going to be a difficult few weeks for him. Will they get out? It's looking grim, but it's looking grim for the teams around them, that the teams they've got to play. So they have got a chance. They've got to play Swansea, so that's a massive game for them. But, on Sunday, there was only really going to be one winner, with Eden Hazard and the way he was playing. And with Olivier Giroud, a touch from what Jan said, when he plays, he always scores. So I don't know why he doesn't play every season, every game, because, he did 25, 30 goals a season if he plays. So it just baffles me that he doesn't play every week. But, there you go, it's a different story.
That's
Still,
right.
Southampton look to me like a team or a squad that they know what their destiny is, that they're going down. They just look like that. Their body language for me, even the manager says it all. I don't think they'll get out of the relegation battle. I think they're destined to go down.
The curse of Leslie continues.
Yeah.
Right, well,
but, you got to look at themselves as well. Look at if you go over the last 2 or 3 years, the amount of players that they've sold, the quality they've sold. If they continue to do that model, then you've got to expect these kind of relegation battles if they're going to get a bit of real quality and not replace it. So, the only problem with Matt is he always has an excuse for everything. Obviously, it's not his fault for Southampton, but I'm sure it is. People think it's his fault they're still going down. So, he just gores on me a little bit, the way he doesn't take responsibility. He's always looking for an excuse, and the excuses are running out. It looks like he's going to get relegated, not one team, but two.
Blimey, not a great thing to have on his record. Right, Chelsea have all but given up top four. United only need a couple more points to seal top four. Chelsea got Liverpool coming up. United got Arsenal at the weekend. I think that's pretty much the most difficult games they've got out of the way, so to speak. lads, after those games, I pretty much admit or think that they'll be focusing on the cup final. Who's your early money on, Jan?
For the FA Cup final? It's a tough one to call. I'm going to say United, of course. You know, being a United fan, I just think Mourinho probably on the day will earn his money and somehow get United the trophy. But listen, Conte's a shrewd manager as well. Tactically, he's very good as well. As you see with the United Chelsea games over the last few years, since the two managers have been on the dugouts, they're apart from the 4-0 demolition by Chelsea, the games are quite tight. You know, one goal between them, and it could be like a 1-0 that decides the final. But as a United man, of course, I'm going to go for United.
Rod, who's your money on, mate?
Yeah, like I say, with these big games, you know, there's a lot of talent on the pitch. It's whoever performs and, you know, do the big players perform. Pogba, Sanchez, you know, he'll have to nullify Hazard. I'm sure Herrera can do that. He's done it before, but, you know, like Jan said, it's going to be tight because, you know, they beat us, we beat them. And I remember that Old Trafford, even though we beat them, they did bash us for most of that game. And we ended up coming out of a win, so maybe a difficult game, but it, you know, whoever performs and whoever plays to their high standards will ultimately win the game. But yeah, I'd expect us to win that game with Jose Mourinho, the cup finals record he's got, you know, added extent to he's playing Chelsea, you know, he's got a little beef with Conte as well, so that'll help. So yeah, looking forward to it. It'd be a good game. You know, just hopefully it's not a dull affair and they both go out to win it.
I think Jose would love to get one over Chelsea in a cup final.
Yeah, he'd love to. I'd go for it. I'd 2-1 either way. But hopefully it's
United. Who's your money on still?
I'm not saying anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the fence. I'm on the fence. Ask me about 20 minutes before kickoff, and I'll tell you. Right. Okay. So, the biggest football news of the week undoubtedly has to be Arsene Wenger deciding to step down, or fall on his sword, or jump before he's pushed. However, which way you want to see it, Wenger is no more. Come May, he's stepping down after 22 years at the helm. I think that means that it's Eddie Howe that's now the longest serving Premier League manager, which is absolutely bizarre. Now, gents, I can't say that I'm shocked because I kind of expected this to be his last season when they won the FA Cup. I thought that would be it. He's not gonna have the 2 years. He's going to quit after the end of this season, and it's happened now. Jan, what was your initial reaction when you heard the news, mate?
I wasn't surprised, though. The fans have won. The Arsenal fans have won on this. I think that was the key factor of him stepping down or leaving, so to speak, or whatever it was. Because if you think about it, the amount of Arsenal fans that haven't turned up to watch Arsenal has only done bad for the club in a sense of revenue. They've probably looked, the board or directors have probably looked at that and thought, well, this is not good. You know, we might have to start listening to the fans now. And I think Wenger's pride was hurt, the fact that his own fans have kind of, you know, betrayed him, if that's the right word, or kind of stuck the knife in. I don't think he expected it. But listen, football's a results business. And, you know, Arsenal fans have been frustrated with what they've witnessed in the last, I don't know, 3-4 years. They haven't really mounted a title challenge where, you know, they think that they should. And I wasn't surprised. I mean, it'll be interesting to see where he would go if he manages elsewhere. But as a manager and what he's done for that particular football club, the guy's a legend. I mean, you can't deny that. He came from Japan and he turned us over, didn't he? You know, for what he did, he turned the Premiership right around. His ideas, his philosophy, the way Arsenal played football in the early years. And let's face it as well, you've got to give him credit as well, because even in the latter period of his career, he still won trophies at Arsenal, regardless if it's the FA Cup or not. That is still a trophy that Arsenal have got in the cabinet. Now, you know, I'm not having a dig at Tottenham, but Tottenham have a trophy like that. Start, you know, get their, you know, the club started of winning trophies, another club, so to speak. So you got to give the man credit for what he's done. He's an absolute legend at Arsenal.
Rodri, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. I think it's a bit of a difficult one. I think the Arsenal fans have been highly disrespectful to him because, you know, they have got a short memory, even though he hasn't won things in the last couple of years. You know, he's changed that club totally around from when he came. He did take over from Rioch, was it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
96, 97. Well, and you know, it, within a year, he was competing with arguably one of the best teams in Premiership history, and then the next year, he won the league.
You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
Oh, there you go. See, these things don't usually happen. We've been placed on hold. I don't know where Rodri's gone. Rod, you still there? That's interesting. He's actually put me on hold.
Well, he won the league in his first year still. He won the league in his first full season. In England, it was supposed to be like the hardest league to win, and United dominating football as they did at that time. So, you know, the only manager to go unbeaten in the Premiership.
So it was, what are you saying, Rod? For some reason, we got put on hold there. Strange. Sorry, Jan.
Where were we at?
Are you just waxing lyrical about Arsene Wenger saying how fantastic the gentleman is and how disrespectful the fans are?
Like I say, when he come in, he changes the club totally around. I know they're frustrated and they wanted a change, but he's given so much joy and so much happiness to the teams, the fantastic teams that he's brought to that club. And you know, the way they went and carried themselves, I think, you know, and the way they still carry themselves, you know, he's going now, give him the respect he earned and give him the praise that he's earned, and then, you know, next year is a new year for you, but you know, it's a lot of disrespectful fans in Arsenal, and it just leaves a bit bad taste in the mouth, but you know, he's been fantastic, and I no doubt the second best manager in Premier League history, and the only team to go unbeaten.
That's right. Now, I'm going to ask you guys a few questions relating to Arsene Wenger because we can't not talk about it. I mean, he deserves a whole show himself, to be fair. But, Rod, when Ferguson retired, he retired on a high. Why do you think Wenger didn't retire at the end of last season when they won the FA Cup, when everyone thought he should have gone?
Because he's got that belief that he believes his players. And, you know, it's kind of, what's the word? I can't think of a word, but he just believes in his teams, and obviously his players have let him down over the last few years massively. You know, he just still believes in his players and encourages the players to play the same way, but he just didn't have the talent that he used to have when he had them great teams back in the past, and ultimately the players have let him down. But you know, he's like I said, he's been a fantastic manager for Arsenal and changed the club from where they were to where they are now. He's just like chalk and cheese. And to go to a falling down wooden ground like Highbury, to go to a fantastic stadium at the Emirates, and that's basically through him and building the teams that he's built and not spending the money that the other big teams have spent and obviously made a great ground, great change of scenery for Arsenal Football Club.
Yeah, and who do you think they'll bring in? Who's your pick?
I think it's Tuchel. I do. I mean, especially the fact that he announced that he was already destined to join another club in the summer. The fact that Wenger's made the announcement. There's a lot of Dortmund Arsenal connections. When I say a lot, you know, you've got Mkhitaryan, you've got Aubameyang. Is it one of the chief scouts maybe at Arsenal that got a connection with Dortmund?
I forget his name, but I know his name.
So I think there's that connection. I don't think he got along well with Tuchel, so I don't know how that would kind of happen. But I don't know. I think it's him. I mean, it was a talk about Ancelotti or Allegri or Simeone. I don't see Simeone going to Arsenal. I really don't. Arsenal's kind of style of football philosophy that they've got there. I don't think Simeone fits that bill. But then again, if they want to go into a new direction, then Simeone's your man, I guess. So, but my money's on Tuchel.
Rod, let's say it is Tuchel that comes in, or let's say it is, for the sake of banter, Arteta, which people have been saying he's earmarked for the job. Two-part question here. How long do you think the new manager will be given by A, the board, and B, Arsenal Fan TV to make the club a serious force?
Hmm.
Well, this is the worry you have, you see, because you've got so many, and I'm probably upset a few people here, but, you know, that doesn't really bother me, but you've got a lot of clowns following that Arsenal club, a lot of clowns, a lot of people, and a lot of them connected to Arsenal Fan TV. Are they going to be carrying on with themselves if the new manager, because he's going to need time. And if he doesn't get that time, then they start being negative and start coming on with all of the nonsense and all the crap that they come on with on Arsenal TV, then they're just going to be coming a joke club. They need to get behind the manager, see what he's like in the first season, and then obviously assess it from there. If he obviously goes as like a terrible season, like i.e. David Moyes, they're going to have to address it and obviously make a decision. But, you know, ultimately, David Moyes wasn't given enough chance, even though for me it was the right decision because he was the wrong manager in the first place. He still wasn't given enough time. You have to give these managers time to implement their own ideas. And I think if you're going to give someone, it'd be ideal for me. I still think Patrick Vieira is a perfect choice. You know, he's loved by the fans, and he probably given that extra few months if he does go through a rocky patch. So, you know, like I say, it's down to the Arsenal fans now, and mostly the Arsenal Fan TV, because like I'll reiterate what I said, there are a lot of clowns on that programme, so you have to just give him time and just see where it takes, because like I say, the Arsenal shouldn't be 6 or 7, they're top 4 club, and that's where they belong, and that's where they should be.
Fair enough. Well, yeah, let me ask you this then. Is Arsenal Football Club the biggest job in football now? By that, I mean the size of the task in relation to the club's history and expectations and ambitions.
Well, I'd like to know what their expectancy are next season, in a sense of, you know, Arsenal fans have got this kind of idea that the new manager should come in and splash all this money and get Arsenal to where, you know, challenging at least. But is he really? Is the money there? Will the new manager have the funds that Wenger maybe hasn't in previous years? I mean, what is the expectancy? Arsenal haven't challenged for a title for what, 3-4 years now? Since Leicester won it, when they had the chance to win it?
Now, it wasn't even that. Arsenal came second because Spurs bottled it on the final day of the season.
Exactly. So they haven't challenged for 4 or 5 years. What is the expectancy with the new manager? I mean, Arsenal played decent football under Wenger. Wenger gets them an odd trophy, maybe one every 2 years or the FA Cup. So what is the expectancy? I'd like to know from an Arsenal fan what they would expect from the new manager and what they want from the board. Do they want, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 different players for the manager to come in, and does he work with what he's got? I'm not sure. It's a difficult job because, you know, Arsenal are a big club, and they believe that they should be challenging or be in a better position that they are. So it's a difficult job for them, because he's going to have the fans who are restless, and are the fans going to give him that time as well? It'll be interesting to see.
Well, see, this is the thing, right? When you look at this Arsenal squad at the moment, it's nowhere near Man City, it's nowhere near United, nowhere near Liverpool, Spurs, when it comes to challenging for anything, really, if you think about it. I mean, let's just start from the back. Cech, Bellerin, Mustafi, Koscielny and Monreal. You tell me any one of those 5 players that'll be in a Man United or a Man City.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem with Arsenal. The back six, you know, Petr Cech's been a great keeper, but, you know, he's been making a lot of mistakes recently. So the back six is a massive, massive problem, and that's what they're going to have to address. The midfield and the strike line, you know, there's goals all across that team. So they've obviously got to sort the defence out, because, you know, you've got a weak defence, and that creates its own problems. But yeah, the first, you know, I know it's a daunting job, and it's a massive job to go into, but it's a fantastic job to go into as well. You know, it's a great place to play football, and you have got some decent world class players there, but you're just going to have to recruit well and get some decent and solid and the right mentality players into Arsenal Football Club, because most of the players that have been coming there are soft bellied and, you know, not much fight about them, and that's what's lacked in Arsenal. The type of, like, the Keones, the Petites, the Vieiras, them sides have got a bit of nastiness about them, but ultimately the top players as well.
The thing is, if you look at it on the flip side, and you look at, say, what Jurgen Klopp has done for Liverpool, I mean, he's got them to a Champions League semi-final with practically, I wouldn't say the same squad as Brendan Rodgers had, because obviously Suarez, Gerrard, Sterling have gone, and they've been replaced with Firmino, Mane and Salah. But players like Lovren, players like Mignolet, players like, you know, the fullback Arnold, who's come from the youth academy, Henderson, Milner. These are players that have been at Liverpool for a few seasons, so they know what the club is about, and they know what's expected of them. And I think the same should apply to Arsenal. These players should know what the fans expect. But the problem is, I don't think the players are good enough. So whichever manager comes in is going to have a monumental job to do in terms of clearing out players, in terms of bringing in their own. And it goes back to what I said earlier, what I asked you guys about it being the biggest job in world football. I think it is right now, because it is an uphill task, and the fans need to get behind the manager and trust whoever the board bring in. Personally, the new guy that comes in, I think he's going to be on a hiding to nothing. And if he doesn't hit the ground running, he won't last. I really don't think he will. But let's not worry about that man that comes in, because we don't know how long it's going to be. Let's talk about Arsene Wenger and Rod.
Sorry, touching on Liverpool there. Yeah. They have got rid of players, and the two players they've brought in have been a massive, massive influence on him. Mo Salah and Van Dijk. Since Van Dijk's come in, Lovren is a world beater, and obviously not shown that today, and he's shown his weaknesses, but it does show to you that if you bring in top quality players, the players around you benefit from that. And obviously we've seen that with Lovren, and Mo Salah has just been a touch of fresh air. So, you know, we've got rid of Daniel Sturridge. No one has said that at the start of the season. They've got rid of him. He's bringing players in, and that's what Arsenal need to do. The recruitment needs to be right, and obviously have a little bit of luck.
Well, let's not make any mistake about it. Lacazette is a proven goal scorer. I think he's only like 3 goals behind Lukaku in the league. He's a proven goal scorer, and he's proven in the Premier League. And this is a guy that hasn't played every game. He's been coming off the bench. He's been playing 70 minutes here and there. You've got Aubameyang that will get you goals. Mkhitaryan will provide goals, as will Ozil. Going forward, they're just as formidable as anyone in the league. But they just need to have that right formula, that right balance between defence, midfield and attack. And if the manager can come in and solidify the back four, which is effectively what Wenger didn't have to do, because he had the best back five in the country at the time, didn't he? So he kind of focused more on the physicality and the pace and making Arsenal really aggressive going forward. And they've got that now, but it's just the other way around. It's a kind of like a role reversal, whereas, you know, the new guy has to solidify them defensively and not worry about them going forward, isn't it, Jan?
No, I agree 100%. They didn't get the balance between defence and attack. I mean, their frailties is the defence, as it showed in so many games or so many occasions. Like you said, going forward, they've got loads of assists, they've got loads of goals in them. They need to work on their midfield. I think their midfield's not the greatest as well. So if they can get the defence and the midfield sorted, and then the attack is pretty much sorted. So, but like you said, the manager's got a big job, and how many players will he have at his disposal to bring in? I mean, as you and I kind of know, or most Arsenal fans know as well, they'll probably need about 4 or 5 at best to maybe the new manager getting his team to what they want, what he wants them to be. But will he get the 4 or 5 players that he really needs? Is the money there? I mean, as you know now, an average footballer is about 50, 60 million pounds. So for Arsenal to bring in the number of players that they need, what's he looking at? 400, 500 million pounds? Is that there?
Well, I think it is, but let's see if Kroenke will put his hand in his pocket. Before we move on, chaps, just one more question. What next for Wenger? Will he still be in the background? Will he take another job? What do you reckon, Rod? Will he still be in management come the summer?
Well, no, I think he'll still get another job. I think, you know, there's still big jobs out there. PSG, that'd be a bit of a poetic justice if he went to PSG and won the Champions League. So, I can see him doing another job, because obviously he wanted to stay on 2 years. Will that make his decision? He obviously wanted to stay for 2 years. They've obviously pushed him out and made him leave a year early. So, will he stay in the background at Arsenal? Will he go on to get another job? I'm pretty much sure he won't get another job in England in the Premier League, but PSG, it'd be perfect for him. It's in France, where he's from, so we'll just have to wait and see. But the odds would probably be he'd be still upstairs and be at Arsenal.
God, I can see
that. But then that creates its own problems as well, because, you know, obviously it doesn't bother Jose Mourinho, but I'm sure it put Louis van Gaal and David Moyes on easy when you've got the greatest manager in Premier League history sat behind you and you're getting fucked every week.
That's right. I mean, I could just see the bloody headlines tomorrow, innit? And, you know, if he signs for Paris Saint-Germain, it'll be WSG, wouldn't it? Crying out loud. Jan, go on. Is Wenger going to get another job?
I'm going to give you a long shot. What about the Real Madrid job? If Zidane goes at the end of the season?
That's not a bad shot, but are you implying that Real Madrid won't win the Champions League?
I think even if they do, I think Zidane still won't be there. The fact that there were so many points behind Barcelona this season, I just think, and as you know, with the record with Real Madrid presidents in the past with managers, and Wenger becoming available, I mean, it could be an opportunity not missed. If Wenger's there for maybe 1 or 2 years and wins the league or the Champions League, then I don't think Real Madrid will miss that opportunity. How about Zidane at PSG if Unai Emery goes and then Wenger goes to Real Madrid?
With some buts and maybes. Rod, are you going to say something?
Swap. Zidane comes to Arsenal, then Wenger goes to Real Madrid. I can't see Real Madrid sacking Zidane if he wins the Champions League. 3 finals in a row, and you sack him. You know, Fabio Capello won the league there, and he sacked him.
This feels like if Guillaume Balague was playing Wheel of Fortune. Right, let's move on to other news. We've got 3 quick stories. I could add a fourth, but no, I won't, because that means we have to talk about Sunderland getting relegated and it'll just be me laughing for 20 minutes. Let's talk about Napoli. Their last gasp win against Juventus closed the gap to 1 point, and with Allegri's men still to play Inter and Roma, the title is effectively Napoli to lose. Now, Jan, we get it wrong sometimes, mate, and we actually thought the Champions League exit would mean Juve would actually steamroll Serie A. It hasn't happened. This could actually be a monumental balls up, couldn't it?
It could be. It could be. You got to give Napoli a lot of credit, though, still. I mean, I know Napoli are not your favourite teams, but they showed a lot of cojones, you know, with a term, thanks to Mr. Troy Deeney, that we've used a lot this season. To go away in such a massive game, to go and get a result, to keep their hopes of winning Serie A this season. And I think it's the manner that they did it as well, still. They went in, they were brave. They played their football, and Juventus looked like a team that, you know what, it was kind of a typical Italian kind of mentality where if we take 0-0, it's fantastic. It's a great result for us. Napoli are still behind us, and we're going to go on and win the league. So is it fortune that favours the brave? And Napoli deserved a lot of credit. As for Juventus, like you said, you know, the last couple of weeks have been an absolute disaster. The fact that what happened to them in the Champions League and the manner that they went out. They drew with Crotone the other day, 1-1, where it was a game that they should have won effectively, and then losing the big game. And as you mentioned, they've got 2 big derbies as well to still play. And you know, if Napoli, you know, keep winning, I'm sure Juve probably won't beat Roma and Inter in both games. But still all to play for stuff.
Absolutely. Robin van Persie scored the final, second goal in their 3-0 win over AZ Alkmaar in the Dutch Cup final. This rubs further salt in Ajax's wounds, who lost by the same scoreline away to PSV Eindhoven last week, a result which gave the Roetveten the title. Now, Rod, what is it about Dutch strikers in their mid-30s returning back to their old clubs and winning things? I mean, Kout did it a couple of years ago with the final, and now van Persie's played a massive part in their cup win. He's been some striker, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Coming to Arsenal, he's a winger, and obviously he's turned into a striker. And yeah, obviously you knew he's a striker and he's a good player, but when he comes to Old Trafford, you have to see him week in, week out. Yeah, he was an absolute top class striker, and you know, a great person to have around the team. He would help youngsters out, because obviously he's been in that position before, and he was a fantastic team player. a fantastic player to have in the squad and Leinster being the world class striker.
Absolutely, absolutely. And on a final note, more shenanigans in Greece. I mean, those of you listening would think that we have some kind of affiliation with Greece here. AEK Athens celebrated their first league title in 24 years after 2-0 win leaves them 8 points clear at the top with two games to go. However, the appeals committee of the Greek Football Federation is yet to deliver its verdict on the Balk versus AEK game that was abandoned in March. You know, the one when Balk's owner stormed the pitch with a revolver. Jan, what are your thoughts on this? Because we've spoken about Marinakis and Olympiakos and what happened with them. Even if the Greek league decide to dock AEK Athens points, they still can't lose the title, though, can they?
No, they can't. I mean, is this actually going on in Greece? Oh, I'm really surprised, though. These things usually don't happen, do they?
Ridiculous. You can tell me.
There's always a scandal somewhere in Greece, isn't there? There's always something that happens every single year. I mean, it's, you know, no offense to the Greeks that follow their teams, but for me, it's a joke league. I mean, you know, how can you not decide what's going on so late in the season when you know that the two teams involved in that game with the points are the two teams involved in the title race? I mean, for me, it doesn't make sense. Who actually sits down and makes these decisions? For me, it's pathetic. This should have been resolved as soon as the game finished. What was the verdict in that game anyway? Because I know Balk scored that late goal. Some of them said that they awarded them the 1-0 victory. Some said that they took the 3 points off them. What actually did happen in the end? Because I actually don't know either, to be honest.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what they haven't decided yet.
Okay, so...
And that happened like 4 weeks ago. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me that, you know, things seem to be changing. You know, I know young boys in Bern of in the Swiss league, they're about 12 points clear at the top, but in front of FC Basel, who have basically won every league title for the past, was it 15 years or something like that? Yeah. So the tide seems to be changing in Europe. You know, we've got Napoli possibly winning Serie A. You've got, obviously, AEK Athens and young boys in Switzerland. It's just a shame that, you know, in other leagues, like the Scottish League, you still got the same old faces winning titles. But Rod, it must be a breath of fresh air, mate, seeing different teams in the Champions League for next season.
Yeah, it's great. It's nice to see different clubs. You see, like, get tired from the board, but you see the same old clubs. You know, it's good to see these new clubs come in and test themselves against the top teams. And you know, some of them did well, and some of them just need experience. And obviously, that's what they're getting. And just club from strength to strength. But yeah, it's good to see different teams come into the Champions League.
Excellent. Well, let's end the show on a high then. Let's leave it at that, shall we? Jan, thanks for joining me, mate. What's your Twitter handle?
Yannick is J. Okay,
see, listen to this. Alexa's even piping up. Rod?
At Rod James Giggs.
Excellent. Our Twitter handle is at Shoot the Defence. You can follow us on Twitter. You can also like our Facebook group page, join in the banner and everything. And Rod has a final message when it comes to our YouTube channel. Rod?
First of all, to all the Sunderland fans, it's nice to Blackpool next year, this time of year. Blackpool, sweet, was nice to Blackpool. Yeah, press the like and subscribe on these people.
Excellent. And that's it for this week, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Till next time, take care.